Holy Communion is something that God wants us to look forward to. You know, and if it's taught wrong, it can really be a drag to participate in, because what happens to too many people is, you know, the preacher will say, examine your hearts, make sure there's no sin, so you don't take this unworthily. And if you're like I was, you'll be on your knees every Sunday trying to get right again. And we need to open our little ears, our little spiritual ears, and hear God say, I forgave you 2,000 years ago. See, it's so easy for us to fall into a sin conscience. And we can try as hard as we can to not make any mistakes. And then if we're honest, we'll see the mistakes that we made, and then we're back in there asking God to forgive us again. And we're not honoring the blood of Jesus when we do that. He wants us to have a righteousness conscience. You know the thing about the Ten Commandments? You know, they wrote them on those stones. And God had them, put them in a peculiar place. Did you notice that? He put them in the Ark of the Covenant and put the mercy seat over them, out of the sight of the people. Because he didn't want people to be conscious of their sin. He wanted them to have a righteousness conscience. He wanted them to be in right standing with him. He wanted them to understand that. But see, the Ten Commandments build confusion, condemnation, and fear in the people. And then Christians, in all their wisdom, have put the Ten Commandments on every wall they can find, it seems like. And they fought major lawsuits to have them in the... Now they want them in the schools. Why don't you just put the Ten Commandments back in the Ark of the Covenant and leave them there? If you want to do something, put 10 things that Jesus did by grace on them walls. Let people have some victory. What God wants us to do is focus on the body of Christ and discern that body of Christ. Rightfully look at it and look at what he did in his passion. We look at this bread and we see that it's made without yeast. That perfect, sinless body of Jesus that was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten and bruised for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And you'll look at this bread and you'll notice that there are stripes in it. It means that Jesus went and he got scourged and he got stripes on his back. And it's by his stripes we were healed. And his body was pierced. And everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood, and we get redemption in some area for that. And this bread is slightly burned. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. He wants us to see Jesus on that cross, carrying all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our iniquities, all of our shortcomings, all of our failures. He wants us to see him carrying the full curse. And he taking our place and setting us free. We thank you for this broken body, and we're taking it for our healing in Jesus' name. And the blood of Jesus that is so pure and so perfect, and so completely 100% without sin, that it never died. It's still alive. And according to 1 John 1:7, it's washing away our sins continually. As we walk in the light, that blood of Jesus washes away our sins. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. Because we are in right standing with God, because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. One of the things that we need to do is have ourselves prepared as much as possible for this transition that we're going through, this great awakening. There's a lot of things that are going to change, and a lot of them are going to really be earth-shattering and biblical changes. But there's some things that we can do to make sure we are as prepared as possible for these changes. And what we're going to do is understand what God has done for us and what He's done to us and in us. And I'm going to give you a verse each week for a while that you should meditate on and look at this verse and then try to memorize it and look at it often and think about it. And we're going to start with this first verse. There's a lot of people, you know, they're just kind of wandering around acting like they just kind of showed up, you know, and they don't really understand the significance of what God did with them. But Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And see, you need to understand this, that each human being that you run into on the face of this earth is fearfully and wonderfully made. They may be crazier than a pet coon, but God still loves them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. How about that? You are a cookie cutter image of the creator of the universe. That's how fearfully and wonderfully made you are. Now look over to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Says, this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now, right there in those few verses that we've been talking about, we're talking about the inner man. And we're going to break this down a little bit farther, but he's talking about the inner man right there. You do have an inner man. And in fact, that's the real you. The real you is your inner man. These earth suits that we call our bodies are temporary. And we're going to wear these things out eventually. And we're going to leave them. Now look back over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And we can get to our earthly body. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's where you got your earthly body. And now in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, it says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. See, he created our inner man, our spirit and soul, before he created our bodies. And then he created our bodies out of the dust, the men, out of the dust of the ground. And then he created the women from one of our ribs. So you women are running around with a borrowed rib. You should know that. And if you're single, your missing rib is running around out there somewhere. Ask God where she's at. It's an interesting thing about that rib. That rib, I believe it comes out of the left side, close to your heart. And that's where your rib belongs, close to your heart and under your arm. You should protect your wife, defend her. See, you've been created the head of the woman. Not for domination or control, but for protection. And under that arm, close to your heart for love. But in his image and likeness is what we've been created. He made us the way he made us. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And see, you don't have to wish you were somebody else. You just need to accept who God made you and then let him improve you if there's challenges. He made you perfect. Even in weakness, his grace is more than enough. Amen? Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now at Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, we'll look at that so we can tie these two verses together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created he him. There's no question but that man was made in the image and likeness of God in soul and spirit. But this does not do away with the body image and likeness of God. See, you're a cookie cutter image of God. And, see, before we get born again, we got this old man. And then once we get born again, we put that old man off to the side. See, this is the part of redemption, and people get confused about this. Redemption is a messy, messy process. See, a lot of people got this idea that once you get born again, you're supposed to be just totally perfect. I got news for you. There ain't nobody that has ever hit that level of perfection. Everybody is going through a washing process. Everybody's going through a cleaning process. You know, we go through this deal. You know, when you get born again, it's not your soul that got born again. It's your spirit. Your spirit got born again. You're still attached to this fine-tuned thinking machine that has all of these glorious ideas about how life should be. And you're attached to your body. And just like an onion, it takes a while to get to the heart of that. I don't know if you've ever noticed that outside skin of onions is worthless. It's just tough, and that gets shed. You peel that off, and then you get to the next layer, and it's not quite as tough, but it's still not quite as edible. But then you get to another layer, and it's more usable. And then another layer, and then you're getting into good onion. But guess what? You just keep digging and digging and digging, and pretty soon you get down to the heart of the onion. When we get born again, that's just the first step. And we get sanctified. That means you're set apart for God's purposes. And then pretty soon you'll find out that, you know, there's this thing that we always did before we got born again that is just needs to go away. So that gets peeled off. And we go for a while, and we're pretty good. And then pretty soon, there's this other thing that we used to do before we got born again. And that gets peeled off. And we go along, and then, you know, you go along for a while, and then pretty soon, you get to this thing that's not a sin. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But it's something that maybe if you get rid of that, get more of Jesus. See, there's some good things, you know, some things that aren't sins that people do that maybe take away a little bit of time with their fellowship with Jesus. And sometimes they get rid of that and they go a step further. See, that's sanctification. That's ongoing sanctification. There's different levels of sanctification. And you can push that to the point where pretty much 100% devoted to Jesus. Wayne Myers is the only man I ever ran into that hit a level of sanctification like that. You know, he really didn't have any attachment to the world. You know, he had a house because he had to have somewhere to sleep. And they had a stove because they had to have somewhere to cook beans. And they had a refrigerator. And that was about it. And cars was just something to give away. What happened? He took sanctification seriously to the point where after, 90-something years old now, and he's still preaching in Mexico. And he doesn't have a life cluttered with a whole bunch of stuff. That's a guy that took sanctification to a whole new level. But there was a lot of things he could have had that wasn't sin. They weren't bad things, but it was just something that would get in the way of his fellowship with Jesus and his service. Now, you need to understand that as we have bodies, that angels, they have bodies too, and spirits have bodies. But we're different than them. Did you know that the flesh of man is not like any other flesh on any other, on any animal on this face of this earth? It's not like any animal. This is special flesh. And we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Now here's the thing about people. Every single human being on the face of this planet had contact with God before they got born. Every single spirit was in His presence. That's why people have this craving for the supernatural. You know, people are drawn to miracles. People are drawn to things of the supernatural. That's why there's so much people drawn to occult activities. You know, they'll start searching for something, and when they're not born again, they're only led by their five natural senses. They don't have the Spirit of God to lead them. So they're led by what they can see. People see something shiny, they get attracted to it. So they go to church and they don't see anything happening. Or they watch church members in the community and they don't see anything happening. Then they see some jerk in the occult or doing some satanic activity do something and it catches their attention. And they have a craving to see something happen. And they get lured away. See, this is why it's so important for the church of God to get a hold of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and get out there and do something. This is not a time to be an undercover Christian. We are running out of time. And we need to try to get as many people born again to go with us as we can. The thing about a man's soul is his soul is the seat of the emotions, his passions, his desires, his appetites, and all his feelings. And his spirit is the seat of the intellect, his will, and his conscience. It is capable of all divine powers, only in a lesser degree. See, that's your inner man. The inner man consists of your soul and your spirit. And according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, we'll go there. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And we're kind of getting into some stuff that people desperately need to know. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. It says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. See, that hidden man of the heart is your inner man. And it is eternal. And you've been made, created in this image of God. And it, Psalm says a little lower than angels. But if you look at the translation of that word angels in the Aramaic, that's Elohim. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, you've been created a little lower than God. You know, angels have been sent to be ministers to the heirs of salvation. That's us. Angels are the ministers. Angels minister to us. Now, we are threefold beings. The true us is a spirit. We're attached to a soul, and we're in a body. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So see there, it tells us about this threefold being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you're in a body. Now the inner man, and this is absolutely important for everybody to know, the inner man is eternal. The body is mortal. The inner man is fully conscious after it leaves the body. See, you are going to live forever. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. It says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See, the inner man is fully conscious after leaving the body. Your soul, your spirit is not going to die. You will leave your body at some point. You will wear out your body at some point. You're going to live forever. It's just vitally important that you pay attention to what address you move to. Location. Location, location, location is absolutely everything. And see, this is not one of those decisions that is going to be made at, you know, you're not going to get to the pearly gates and flip a coin. You're not going to get to the gates and Peter's going to open up a book, say, you did some good things here, you did some good things here, you did some good things here. You can go on in. That's not the way this works. See, Jesus himself said that a man must be born again. And then in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it tells us how that happens. It tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. For it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. That is our ticket to salvation. There is no other way to the Father but through the Son. And in fact, the Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Here's an important thing about that word salvation. It's not just born again. That's what gets preached a lot. That is part of it, but it's not just born again. See, you got to understand that word salvation, it takes us something like 28 English words to describe that. See, when you get born again, you are going to go to heaven. You are saved in that. You're going to go to heaven. But here's the thing. Are you done being healed on this earth? You better say no. Are you done being prospered on this earth? You better say no. Are you done being protected on this earth? No. Are you done being delivered? No. Then you're still being saved. See, you are saved, and you are being saved. And when you meet Jesus face to face, He will complete your redemption, and you will be saved. You are saved. You're being saved, and you will be saved. And it's all 100% on Jesus and what He did. And it's because of His shed blood and His work on the cross. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we could do to add to His perfect work. All we can do is receive it. The Bible tells us that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus that is more precious than gold and silver. That means whatever you think you could do, whatever special talent you think you might have, do you think it's more precious? Do you think it's more valuable than gold and silver? Some people may think so, but do you think it's more precious than the blood of Jesus? If you got some kind of special talent or ability or something special you can do that's more precious and more valuable than the blood of Jesus, I want you to tell me about it. There's nothing. There's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus. And this is absolutely important for you to understand. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. That means there's no sin that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. There is nothing that you have ever done that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. I had a lady tell me somebody committed suicide, and she said that's the only unforgivable sin. And I said, that's not true. That is not true. We have a merciful God. And when somebody has some mental disease, maybe PTSD, maybe something that is terrorizing them completely to the point where they're out, they're just, they need some relief and they're not getting it, and the medicine that the doctors are giving them isn't giving them the relief, and they're not finding what they need, and they decide they cannot take it anymore. You know, they have a right to go home. And God is not going to send them to hell. You know, the one sin that gets man put into hell is by rejecting Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. And that man will be alive forever, cut away from the presence of God, in torment, with no way of ever getting back. That's why it's so important to make a decision for Jesus right now. Don't take a chance. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Say, well, I don't need to make a decision right now. You do. By not making a decision, you made a decision for not. There's people watching on video. They watch all over the country. Pete gets these on the internet, and people all over. There's people from Florida, all over the place, and Wyoming, all over Texas watching these. Somebody needs to know that they absolutely have to be born again today. You cannot put it off. You can walk out that door, get ran over by a moped or a wild pig, who knows, and take your last breath, and you are out of time. And whatever decision you made, one way or another, is going to be final. And it wasn't God that made the decision for you. It was you. He gave you a free will. Now, since you know that you are going to live forever, you need to make sure that you have the right address. And that's heaven, in the presence of Jesus. I'm going to give everybody a chance, whoever's watching, to get born again. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. We bow our head in a reverence to God, and we close our eyes in respect to our neighbors. And you say this prayer out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I believe that God raised you back to life. This day, I confess you, Lord Jesus, to be the Lord of my life. If you just said that, you got born again. Now you can learn of Jesus and get more of him into you. You know, John Baptist, he said that he needed to decrease so that Jesus could increase. We're all in that boat. The more him that gets in us, the better off we are. You know, and we're all in this life where we're trudging the happy road of destiny. You know, and we got to, We all have to learn of Jesus, and we all have to grow, and we all go through this cleansing process. But we need to understand that this redemption process that we're going through is not as fast as a lot of people like to make it sound. A lot of, you know, you get born again, we dunk you in the water, and you had better toe the line. You know, you're going to make mistakes. Did you know that? You know, sometimes we weave when we should have wobbled. We're all learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. And we're all going through this change. And God's changing us. You know, he's the husbandman. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, and God is the husbandman, and he's cleaning us up, and he's cutting things off of us, and he's growing us, and he's growing us the way he grows us. And the fruit is produced on us because of Jesus, the vine. It's his life in us that produces the fruit. You are not capable of producing fruit. And if you think you are, just go home and pray for patience. And then come and tell me how your fruit producing efforts went. And if you come back and say it went wonderful, I'm going to say you're lying through your teeth. Because you do not have it in you to produce fruit. Jesus is the only one that can produce fruit in us. And it's only through fellowship with him that that fruit, you know, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all that, patience, that's the only way that fruit gets produced on us. Always remember you're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God. And he is the husbandman. He is the one that cleanses each one of us up. You know, so it's not so important for you to point out somebody else's mistakes and shortcomings. Don't do that. They know what they are. And so does God. And between them and God, they're going to get it figured out. Our job is to be like Paul and encourage them. Say, hey, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're doing all right. Sometimes people need to be encouraged, even when they make mistakes. Don't be like a lot of religious people that want to pounce on somebody that makes a mistake like a pack of wolves and devour them. Don't. Do not. Do not. Do not do that. And don't go around gossiping and reminding people of their sin. They know. Let Jesus cleanse them in his blood. Let God be the husbandman. He's the one that does this work, not us. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for that precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us on that cross, that washed away our sins, that made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that justified us freely by his grace. Father, we thank you for your healing and your love and your mercy. Your mercy and your grace that is renewed every day. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and rightfully divide the Word of God. And we thank you that since we are sons of God, we can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have snacks and coffee back here in fellowship. Come on back and have some.